This is Ben Evans with the National Biodiesel Board. We appreciate you guys getting on the call. We're going to try to be brief. So I will turn it over now to Ann Steckel, who's our Vice President of Federal Affairs here at NBB in Washington. And then she'll turn it over to Ben Wooten, who is a biodiesel producer, former biodiesel producer from Pennsylvania. And then JoJo will wrap it up, our CEO, and we'll turn it over to questions. But now here is Ann Steckel.
Well, thanks so much, Ben, and good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Thank you so much for joining the call this morning. I think everyone on the call understands the background here, that we're now in our second year in functioning without RFS policy, as the administration hasn't set volumes for 2014 or 2015. We really wanted to do this call because as the delay has dragged on, it really seems like there's this bit of this ho-hum attitude in some corners that it's just business as usual and that people aren't affected by not releasing these RFS numbers. And I know that some of the ethanol groups, for example, have said they are okay with the delays, and you know, I guess that makes some sense given the fact that they're a much larger and more mature industry, and they actually had their best year ever last year. But we are actually going backwards, and companies are filing bankruptcy. We really want to be very clear that this uncertainty and lack of RFS policy is severely damaging the biodiesel industry, which you guys know is the only EPA-designated advanced biofuel under the RFS with nationwide commercial-scale production. We literally have dozens of producers who are hanging on by a thread, and many have closed down already. And you know, the latest example, some of you actually may have seen this, is Green Earth Fuels. They're a large plant outside Houston that filed for bankruptcy earlier this month. The EPA's decision to effectively streamline Argentine imports this week has really added fuel to that fire, and we anticipate it will result in hundreds of millions of gallons to enter the U.S. And this is going to displace U.S. production, because the product coming in from Argentina has a strong tax advantage. So really, it's with all the more reason we absolutely need fast resolution to this and a strong final RFS rule consistent with production in 2014. So today we have a former biodiesel producer with us who has also lost his plant in bankruptcy as a result of the situation. Ben Wooten, who until last year was CEO of Keystone Biofuels in Pennsylvania, is with us, and I want to turn it over to him to have him talk about what happened and how he views the current situation. So, Ben, I'll turn it over to you at this point.
Thanks, Ann. I appreciate that, and thanks, everybody, for attending this conference and giving me the opportunity to tell my story. It's not a story I like to tell, but it's a story that I think needs to be told so people really can feel the impact of what the lack of guidance by the EPA on the RFS policy, how it's really hurting real people throughout this whole country. I started in business, had a couple of businesses before I got into the biodiesel industry. I was CEO of a healthcare company, which I created. Was my last venture before getting into the biodiesel industry, but been in the industry for about 10 years. I got into it learning from a fellow business associate what biodiesel was, and I was sold on everything from the impact that biodiesel brings to our economy and our environment, our energy security, but also believing in the RFS, and it wasn't a speculative kind of investment. It was something that the government supported and was encouraging investment into renewable energy to help us with the finite resource of petroleum that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. So I got in around 2005. 2012, unfortunately, was a really tough year, again, related to what I would call inconsistent public policy. So had to put a reorganization in 13, found some investors late 2013, but it was right around the time the EPA was giving signals of a reduced RVO number. In fact, this time last year, I testified in front of the EPA down in D.C. I waited for 12 hours in a room, the last person to go to speak, and I testified basically by reducing the RVO number, or more importantly, not finalizing the RVO number it was going to significantly hurt not just my company, but the industry, specifically the investors that are coming in and banks that are loaning money into this industry with a reduced or no RV, no RVO number, period. Companies like mine would not survive. And unfortunately, in late 2014, I had to liquidate it in bankruptcy because I could not find the investors or the capitals to help take it out. So this was, I invested my life savings, my kids' college education. I have two mortgages on my house. I have two kids in high school. And it wasn't just affecting Ben Wooten. It was affecting all the families that I employed in my company. And a lot of them were military. I hired probably more than, probably about 60% of my staff was military, and it took everybody at least 9 months, if not longer, to move on and find other jobs. So I just wanted to bring attention. It's a story I don't like to tell, but it's a story that needs to be told. And the EPA is required by law to have an RVO number in place. And it baffles me why we struggle getting this put together, because everything that the biodiesel industry has told year after year, we've always lived up to it. We've never said, this is what's going to happen in 2012, and it didn't happen. This is going to happen in 2013, and it didn't happen. It always has happened. And so I just, you know, the Argentina and opening up a fast track on that, and having the influx of hundreds of millions of gallons of biodiesel into our market right now, I'm very concerned about the remaining producers. I still fight for them every day. I'm actually working with a company, World Energy. I was fortunate enough to be picked up by them, a much stronger company than mine was in multiple states, but yet they're struggling just like the rest of the industry. And a company like Green Earth, which is backed by private equity and has dollars to dig into, for that company to file bankruptcy is a major statement that we have to get this RFS policy back on track. And I'm willing, and I know the biodiesel board is willing, to sit down with the administration and make that happen today, not tomorrow. So that's my story. Thanks for letting me tell it. Hopefully it came through. Hopefully it wasn't too cracked up here, but I look forward to your questions.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate that. Turn it over to Joe Jobe, our CEO now.
Thank you. And I want to commend Ben for coming on and telling his story. As you can imagine, it's not a comfortable thing to talk about. It's a very personal thing for Ben and his business and his life savings, losing everything, but it's really an important thing that he was able to come on and do that, because not a lot of people like to do that or are willing to do that, but there are several small businesses out there like Ben that have a similar story. And to have the EPA make comments like, well, we would have liked to get this rule out earlier, but it doesn't seem to be slowing anybody down, is just it's just beyond frustrating, beyond unacceptable. And they sort of point to the notion that, well, the biodiesel industry still, even without the finalized rules, still did some substantial volumes. We went from 1.8 billion gallons in 2013 to 1.75 billion gallons in 2014. But it's important to point out that just looking at that is misleading, because the only reason that our industry and our members kept going was because the EPA strongly signaled that they were going to fix the drastically flawed proposed rule and finalize it in the spring of 2014, and they were going to increase the numbers. So our industry persevered and kept going and kept pushing on, because we have a very resilient industry. But the spring came and there was no rule. And then the summer came and they said, well, we want to get it out before the election. And the election came, and they said, well, we'll get it out after the election. And then November came, and they said, well, we don't know when we're going to get it out sometime. We just don't know when, but it'll be the 14 rule. We'll publish it in 2015. They could get the 14 rule out this afternoon. The volumes are already known. There is no reason they shouldn't finalize the advanced biofuel rule today for 2014. The volumes are already known. They need to publish the rule at the volumes that were produced on the biomass-based diesel category and the statutory volume for the total advance number of 3.75. That is statutory. That is required that they do that. They are now 3 years behind. They are supposed to have 2014, 2015, and 2016 finalized. Not they don't even have 2016 proposed, and 2014 is done and gone. This is absolutely outrageous, and it is not without consequence. This failure on the part of EPA is costing people their livelihoods. So it is just without understanding why they would decide this week that they should prioritize a decision to lower sustainability requirements for foreign Argentinian subsidized product. That is what they did in the throes of being 3 years behind schedule on just doing the basic thing of finalizing the rule and growing the volumes as Congress intended and as the law requires. They decided to make a non-urgent discretionary decision without notice or public comment to fast track more subsidized Argentinian biodiesel into this program. It makes absolutely no sense, and I would hope that for some of the media on the call, they would ask them to try to explain that. So with that, I'll stop. I'll pause, and the three of us are glad to take any questions from any of the members of the media.
Thank you, Joe. We already have a couple of questions in, but there's a couple of ways you can ask a question. You can raise your hand over there on the panel, on the webinar panel, and I'll unmute your line, or you can type in a question under the questions tab, and we'll read it out loud and answer it there. So we have a first question here from Herman Wang with Platts. How did NBB arrive at its estimate that 600 million gallons of Argentinian biodiesel may be imported to the U.S. due to the EPA's decision to streamline those imports? That's the estimate that we've put out there, and I'll turn that question to Anne.
Hi, thank you. Happy to take the question. So what we know is that in 2012, 450 million gallons were shipped to the EU. So what we know now is there is really no reason to believe that at least that much will come into the U.S. Since EU locked Argentina product out of its market, it has nowhere to go. So we've got at least 450 million gallons with no home that's looking right at us because of this decision. Argentina has a capacity of 1.4 billion gallons, and they only used 300 million gallons last year. So they have so much room to grow and to produce more biodiesel, and the most effective, easiest place to send it is right here in the U.S. Again, they don't have access to the EU market, so we're the logical place that it would go.
And just for background, for those of you who don't know, that the EU imposed tariffs on Argentinian biodiesel to the EU a couple of years ago, which has effectively blocked it. We have another question here from Rachel Gantz with Opus. Is NBB considering a challenge to EPA's approval of the Argentina biodiesel imports plan?
We have sent...
Joe, do you want to take it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I was going to say, as we have indicated, we have sent a letter to addressed to Gina McCarthy today, asking that they reconsider this decision. We have we've also asked to meet with the administrator and her team to discuss this. This is a discretionary decision that they made without notice or public comment, and their statement says that they could reverse this decision at any time if they get more information, and we're determined to give them much more information and to appeal to them to reverse this decision. If they choose not to do that, then we have a number of legal options that we'll consider.
Thanks, Joe. We got another question from Todd Neely here. What is EPA telling the NBB about RFS? About the RFS at this point, is there any communication of any kind on that?
Well, that's a great question. We wish that there was more communication. The communication that we receive is that it's going to keep coming out, and then the day keeps changing. So. Here we sit and here we wait, and in the meantime, our producers are closing plants, laying off people, and they make a decision to employ more people in Argentina. Go figure.
Then another question here, Spencer Chase with Platts. Have we been given any indication as to when the EPA expects to release 2014, 15, and 16 RVO numbers?
The EPA has given no indication. They said sometime in 2015. They have indicated that they want to finalize all 3 years that they're behind in calendar year 2015, in this calendar year. We want to work very diligently to help them meet that goal, but they've given no timeline other than this calendar year. Ben, while you're reading that question, I would like to say to the members of the media on the call that I would really like to request that someone ask the EPA why it's okay for them to not comply with this law. This is a legal requirement. People have been fined for not complying with various aspects of this law, including missing deadlines, yet they are 3 years behind, and this is not without consequence. This is a great consequence, and the volumes that we produced in 2014 were produced in part by people who are now out of business, who have lost their business. They persevered despite EPA's failure, but it is mind-boggling why it is they believe they don't need to comply with the law. And as I said before, they could get the biomass-based diesel and the total advanced biofuel number out this afternoon. The volumes are already known. We know how many volumes were produced. They need to push out the final rule pegged at actual volumes for biomass-based diesel and the statutory volumes for total advance. That is their legal obligation. And I wish someone in the member of the media would ask them why they believe that they don't need to comply with the law.
Thanks, Joe. So we did get a couple more questions in. Ed Felker at Energy Guardian asked, saying Janet McCabe told reporters a couple of weeks ago that the 2014 RVO would come out in the spring. Is that what we understand?
I can take that one. Hi, Ed. We heard that as well, although every day brings a new season that we're going to get an announcement. So, you know, we don't have any more information as to when that's actually going to occur or if it'll get pushed again. I mean, clearly we've waited a long time and we need this thing sooner rather than later.
Thanks. We have a question here from Dan Looker asking about, can you give us an estimate of the price advantage that Argentina may have over U.S. biodiesel due to subsidies, strong dollar, or other factors?
I can take a stab at that. Argentina does have quite a price advantage compared to the U.S., and that's because they have these things called DETs, and that's a differential export tax, and it basically gives them a much lower price than it does us. And so, unfortunately, they do have those in place. Again, the EU looked at those DETs, and they said, we don't want it coming in here. We don't think that's fair. And so now, as the U.S. market, we're the last man standing, and so we're going to get all of that product. And so it is a very, very concerning situation that we're in.
And prior to this decision by the EPA, Argentina was required to meet significant sustainability standards that are required under the law. These are standards to map and track acres and volumes to prevent the clearing of any kind of clearing of new land for this kind of market, and that was an important sustainability standard. And so what this decision did is it reduced some of the stringentness on those requirements for Argentinian producers. Now the EPA has said that in some of their public statements this week that it's actually making this the sustainability requirements more stringent. Well, again, I would like to ask members of the media to ask EPA how that makes any sense, because this is a group of Argentinian producers that all got together and petitioned the EPA for a specific plan on these standards to fast track it, and it makes absolutely no sense that a group of biodiesel producers would get together and ask for more stringent regulations on them. It defies common sense, and I for one would like them to explain their assertion that this increases oversight and stringent regulations on the sustainability standards.
Thanks, Joe. And sorry, guys, it looks like we're not going to get to all the questions. We're going to take one more. We wanted to keep this relatively brief. For those of you whose questions I don't get to, we'll get back to you, and we'll get you some answers. We have quite a few. But we'll take one more from Wes Swift. Does NBB know how many producers have shut down and or how much capacity has been lost due to the RFS delay?
You know, it's tough to put an exact number on that. What we do know is that dozens of plants have shut down production. Maybe they haven't filed for bankruptcy, but because of the situation that they're in, they cannot continue to produce. I guess, Ben, I would ask you if you are familiar with folks, or, you know, this seems to be kind of a common thread that we continue to hear, is that, you know, we do have folks filing, several folks that have filed for bankruptcy, and we do have others that have just decided to shutter their production in hopes that they can try to open it again. But that's a very difficult thing to do, clearly, and you know firsthand how difficult that is. And if you have anything more to add, I'd welcome that.
Well, Green Earth obviously filed bankruptcy last week, again, which was a big surprise to me, even being an insider. I can tell you in the Mid-Atlantic region, if they're not shut down, they're doing roughly about 10 to 20% of their normal production. So it's a significant number that we're down on production.
All right, guys. Thanks again to everybody for joining. If you have any follow-up questions, for those of you who did ask questions that I didn't get to, I'll get back to you. If you want to give me a call and have follow-up, give us a call here at 202-737-8801. But thanks again, everybody. We appreciate it.